Good morning, and I want to say greet you in the name of Christ this morning. Just a reminder that if you didn't register at the registration table, we'd appreciate if you do that sometime. Our topic this morning is understanding forgiveness. If you've seen the newsletter, you've probably seen this quote: "Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it," by Mark Twain. When you think of a violet, it doesn't smell a whole lot until you step on it. And instead of reacting and lashing out at you and attacking you, the violet produces a lovely fragrance. Luke 17, verse 1 says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." Matthew 18, 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." We live in a fallen world, and because of the wickedness and the imperfect state of mankind, offenses are unavoidable. And I don't know if you've ever checked or looked what the word offense is there in those two scriptures that I read, what it actually means in the Greek. The Greek word is scandalon, and that's where we get the word scandal from. But the definition of it is a trap stick, a bent sapling, a snare, an occasion to fall, or a stumbling block. Offenses, I'm guessing we've all faced them, we've all seen them, we've all experienced them, they've been a part of our life. And that's why a topic like today is so important. We may have heard the term, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never break me," a phrase that is absolutely not true. I'm going to read you a story, and story of a person, and the name of the person in this story is Benji, and how damage affected his life and where he ended up because of his response to offenses in his life, and how he failed of the grace of God, and when he chose to forgive, what changed. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." What does it mean to fail of the grace of God? If you look at God's grace there in that verse, the grace of God, or God's grace, is the power to respond correctly to every situation. And if we fail of the grace of God, God has storehouses of grace up there for us, for every situation in life that we face. But because of our pride, so many times we don't even ask God for that grace, for that power to respond correctly. But if we fail the grace of God, one of the very first things that's mentioned, it says, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Bitterness not only defiles us, but it defiles those around us. Then verse 16 goes on to say, "Lest there be any fornicator," and that's basically anyone into any type of moral failure, "or a profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." What is profane? Profane is when we take what God calls important and bring it down here, and we say, put up in that spot what we think is important. That's why we call swearing profanity, because we think it's more important to utter disgust. And by doing so, we bring the holy name of God down here, and we think it's more important to utter disgust. And that's why we call it profanity. So profane is when we take what God calls important and bring it down here, and what we call important, we put that up at the top. That's why people steal. That's where greed comes from. So if we look at those three things, bitterness, moral failure, and greed, every sin you can possibly think of will fit in one of those three categories. And I could spend a lot more time on that, but for the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving on. Like I mentioned, I'm going to be reading you a story, so it might be a little lengthy, but bear with me. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Benji. He was a normal little boy growing up in a Christian home. He loved to sing, pretend, and play like all other little boys do. He loved life and enjoyed being alive. As he grew older and started talking, there were some words that he had difficulty pronouncing correctly. He would be asked over and over to say those words, only to get laughed at and told to say it again, only to hear more laughter. He would try so hard and would not come out right and did not know how to say it correctly. He was embarrassed to try again. One day, when Benji was six years old, someone who his family knew well asked him to help them, so he went to help them do what they wanted to do. His job was to hold something in place. He tried as hard as he could, but he just was not strong enough. He tried and tried and just couldn't do it. This individual got very angry and started yelling at him and telling him how stupid he is and that he cannot do anything. Benji felt so worthless. He started to cry and walk away, only to hear, "Get back here, you dummy, and do something." So he went back and tried again. He tried even harder. He just was not strong enough. This time, some choice words, along with how stupid he is, were hurled at him. Benji walked off brokenhearted, feeling very worthless and stupid, only to get yelled at and told very angrily to come back and help. So Benji turns around, goes back, and tries again. He tried his utmost, but to no avail. He just could not do it. By this time, the emotions were running high, and he heard, "Just go away. You can't do anything anyhow." So Benji walked away, feeling totally shredded and worthless. Time went on, and Benji started school. He was excited and looking forward to going to school. This was a Christian school. Benji lived in a Christian home, so a Christian school sounded like a good place. Finally, the day came and he could go to school. He loved school and thoroughly enjoyed it for 2 days. After 2 days, some would make fun of him and laugh at him. Things like, "Fatty, fatty, 2x4, can't fit in the bathroom door," was heard over and over. "Hi, Fats, how are you?" Benji heard many more rude jokes and comments while the others would laugh at him and hit him and push him around. One day in class, as a little boy, he was asked what a certain picture was. Even though he was quite self-conscious, he put his hand up because he was sure he knew what it was this time. And the teacher asked Benji, "What is the picture?" And Benji said, "It's a Spatz." A Spatz is a sparrow in Pennsylvania Dutch, for those that don't understand it. Everyone burst out laughing. The whole classroom. Benji was horrified. Here he thought he could finally get it right, and everyone laughed. He felt so humiliated, embarrassed, and it triggered the pain and verified the belief that he is worthless and will never be able to get it right. Benji also hated recess time, all the mocking and being made fun of on a daily basis. But not only that, the older boys were very abusive. Many times he was afraid to go outside, but he had to go out at recess time. It seemed to Benji no one noticed or cared what was going on. On numerous occasions, they would make a ring of boys and put Benji in the middle, push him around from one to another, as if he was going from one direction from being pushed before he could get to his senses. He was pushed by another in a different direction until he lost all sense of direction. All the time, as they were laughing, he flopped around mercilessly until he decided to quit. His head felt heavy, headaches, feeling dizzy, miserable. Couldn't walk right, and they looked on and laughed some more. Many times he would have marks and bruises on his body from being hit, pinched, drug around, and mistreated. On a few occasions, they did not quit until his clothes were torn, and then they made fun of him. They would laugh and say, "He's fat, that's why his clothes are torn." Several times after it rained, Benji was wrestled to the ground, and two boys would grab him by the legs and drag him through the water puddles, and then they would laugh at him and say, "Look, he wet himself." For a while, Benji was so scared to go out at recess time that he carried his scissors in his pocket for self-defense. Because of the countless times he was manhandled, scratched, hit, and pinched, one day he was being cornered by one who would hurt him. He got the scissors out to protect himself before he gets hurt again. And this time, the teacher was looking out the window inside. In the teacher's mind, the children were just playing. She didn't see the worst. She just saw what Benji was doing, so Benji was called in and disciplined accordingly, because you don't do such a terrible thing as taking his scissors on the playground. Benji would continually wonder, does no one notice or understand or even care? Many times his lunch pail was taken off the shelf and thrown on the floor and kicked around. Things would break and it would be a chaotic mess. Again, they would laugh at the mess. It did not take long for a new lunch pail to look tattered and broken and in terrible shape. Benji's parents had told him to take real good care of his lunch pail because that one should last for years as he goes to school. And for a number of years, it was held together by rubber bands, which was also embarrassing to him. One Sunday night when Benji was 8, his parents had company and a boy came along that was several years older than him. And this guy would try to get Benji to go do something in the dark all by himself. Benji was afraid and didn't go. So this boy would pull his ears furiously over and over, then slap him in the face and try to force him to go. It hurt so bad physically and emotionally. When Benji was 9 years old, someone showed him that he cared about him. Finally, someone cared about him, but only to be taken advantage of. Benji was sexually abused and introduced to immoral things. He was told this is normal and it is something you want to never tell anyone. The abuser said, then I will be your friend if you do not tell. After this, Benji started down a trail of immorality along with feelings of self-condemnation and being worthless. Like all little boys, Benji grew up and became a teenager. He grew big and strong physically and became rough and tough, and no one would ever overpower him anymore. In his teen years and in the youth, the mocking kept on. Even though he was physically strong, many a time he was emotionally crushed and the rejection pain hurt. Like all youth, Benji took an interest in beginning a relationship with a young lady only to get a no. By this time, Benji was convinced he was stupid. He was not normal. He's unlovable, he's strange, he's weird, he's no good, and so on. He was not like everyone else, and oh, how he wished he was normal. Maybe if he was born to a different family, to live in a different part of the world. Born years earlier, but not now. As Benji started in his 20s, he hated himself. Mirrors were an enemy. He hated what he saw. And the mirror just reminded him only how ugly he was. He kept feeling worse and worse. Benji would often think and say to himself, if only I could die, get sick and die, have an accident and die, someone would shoot me. And as time went on, those thoughts were becoming a daily thing. And then they went to, why don't I just kill myself? So Benji started contemplating suicide. He wanted to make sure it would work. One day he was driving down the road, and as he came to a stop sign, he stopped and he saw a semi-truck coming. He thought, here's my chance. If I pull out in front of him, and it will look like it is an accident, and my misery will be over. Benji waited, and the semi-truck came closer and closer. He waited just for the right time to pull out and end it all. Benji's heart was racing. His chest was thumping as the truck came closer. The seconds were ticking by as the truck got closer. It was almost time. And now is the time to pull out in front of the semi. And it would all be over. The truck had a good speed as Benji sits there and watches it go by. He sits there shaking, crying, and a shudder vibrates through his whole body. What had he almost done? He couldn't believe it. My friends, this morning, this story is true. And I'd like to introduce you to Benji this morning. I'm Benji. As we reflect on the story of Benji, did you notice the wrong decisions? Not understanding the grace of God, failing the grace of God. A lot of decisions that he made were connected to the pain in his life. When I started this devotion, I referred to offenses being a baited trap. And Benji ended up in that baited trap many a time. Notice all the lies he believed about himself. The bitterness, the anger, the immorality, the hypocrisy, the pride, and so on. Someone cared enough about this guy. Cared enough about me. And invested a lot of time and effort in my life. But one day the day came when he says, I don't know what to do anymore. We'll have to look for more help. And he suggested a place to get more help. My first reaction was, no way. I'm not that bad of a case. But I'm going to say that I did end up going, and it's the best thing I ever did in my life. Here they lovingly and caringly walked me through this very hard, difficult and hard stuff. And I want to just publicly acknowledge and say God bless those special people in my life that cared. I ended up starting to call stuff bitterness that I didn't even know was bitterness. If anybody would have asked me if I was bitter, I would have said, no, Christians aren't bitter, so I'm not. In fact, I was under the mindset that Christians shouldn't have bitterness, so I was a Christian, so I didn't have it. But as I started digging, I only started realizing how bitter and angry I was inside. Someone so caring and not judging took me into a painful journey of forgiveness, not blaming, cursing, hating, or judging, but honestly looking at what took place in my life. Calling it what it was and then making a choice to forgive, even though I didn't feel like it. It was a hard journey, but the results are wonderful. I remember one day, I looked at my counselor and I said, I will never forgive that person, this particular individual we were talking about. And what I faced next was absolutely amazing. I didn't face judgment. I didn't face a threat of hell. But he very understanding and lovingly and gently and caringly, he helped me to look at the results of forgiveness versus the results of bitterness. And being able to seeing how vengeance and pardon belong to God, what Jesus went through and how he forgives even while hanging on the cross, and how God's goal is to draw us back to him. And also how sin and bitterness and such like give the enemy a foothold, and how that leads to more sin and bondage. And he helped me walk through forgiving and releasing all the individuals that hurt and violated me. Helped me clean up the immorality, broke the lies about self, lies about others, and lies about God, and find healing in Jesus Christ. And I can honestly say this morning, from my heart, I choose to forgive all the individuals who have hurt me. It is not what we'd naturally feel like doing, but making a choice. It's a little bit like a couple on vacation who met up with a sniper. And he stood in between the sniper and his wife. And the shot rang out and his body hits the ground with a thud. And in those moments before the fatal shot, his fears were challenged for the love of his wife. But he didn't allow his emotions to stand in the way of giving his life for his wife. But the laying aside of and resisting emotions to make the right choice. Giving up the right for revenge, it is costly, but the right thing to do to make that choice. That story I just talked about is in this book, Forgive and Love Again. They're available on the back table. It's a book that has been that is good when he's looking at forgiveness. Can I, like Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, and think with me of all the torture he went through? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Roman soldiers not know what they were doing? In the same way, many times in our lives, when we get hurt, the offender probably has no idea the depths of the hurt that we feel. Connecting with the Lord Jesus, wrestling it out with the Lord, surrendering our will to him. And something amazing happened when I was free. I remember coming home from Ohio, and I couldn't believe that Ontario actually had birds that sing. For the first time in years, I heard birds sing. Before I went, and I'm going to share a little bit just to help you understand how this can actually affect a person on a physical level. Before I went, I was 27 years old. I had blood pressure issues. I had eating problems. I kept losing weight. I couldn't sleep. Sometimes only 2 to 4 hours in a night. And I've never taken medication for any of them. Taking care of spiritual strongholds and finding emotional healing, those things all corrected themselves. Today I stand before you as a testimony of how God took a life that was a mess and what Jesus can do and the life he gives. So I don't want you to feel sit here and feel sorry for me or try to figure out who the people are in this story that I was referring to. I'm here to tell you that God has an amazing plan. God took what the enemy tried to destroy me with and used it to mold me into what he wants me to be. The enemy truly was determined to destroy me, but God had another plan. Doing what I'm doing today, in working with people to help them on their journey to freedom, is not something that was in my dreams of doing someday. But dearly beloved, I feel strong that this is where God has called me. I wouldn't want to do anything else. In fact, this is what I want to do when I retire. And I want to also tell you what he did for me, he can do for you. Taking the things we call the bad things in life and use them as tools against the enemy and bring glory to God. It's not that I live a perfect life now, and I've failed many times, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is alive and well, and in the healing and freedom business. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He saith, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And Jesus quotes this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Jesus is still in that business today. I want to close with a quote. Forgiving is not about forgetting. It is about letting go of another person's throat. I forget nothing. I remember everything. Forgetting is a choice to limit myself. Son, because of Jesus, there is no law demanding I bring your sins back to mind. That's what Jesus does for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we come to you. We just want to invite your presence here. We ask that you would come and just minister to each one's heart this morning. And Lord, I just pray that the hearts that are hurting, that you would touch those hearts right now in a way that only you can. And Jesus, would you show them in a way they can understand how much you care about their hurt. So just hold them close to your heart. And I just pray a special blessing upon the day today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to mention yet, Caring for the Heart has this book here on the back table. There is a chapter in here that talks about bitterness and forgiveness. It has been a very helpful tool in my own life. And also, that one, this, depending what your eyes are like, this is either a gray book or a blue book. Some people call it gray, some people call it blue. I'm not sure what they call it. This one deals a lot more with spiritual issues. This book deals more with the emotional part. Encourage you to take a look at them. They're definitely very helpful tools. There is a DVD series that comes with this book, and there's also a book back there with the transcripts, and the transcripts are exactly what's on the DVD. So if you're interested in either one, check with Bethany back at the table. Just want to say that the Lord bless you for coming out, and Earl as well. We're glad to have you here.